WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Ella Siebold is the author of the memoir Lucky and has been named by The Village Voice as a writer on the verge. Book critic Maureen Corrigan says that with her first novel, The Lovely Bones, Siebold is no longer on the verge. She's arrived and triumphed.
The first 15 pages of Alice Siebold's astounding debut novel, The Lovely Bones, were honestly almost impossible for me to read. And the rest of her novel was almost impossible for me to put down. I've never read a novel quite like this, and if it hadn't been for the fact that it was a reviewing assignment, I wouldn't have even picked up The Lovely Bones. This is a story narrated from heaven by an adolescent girl, a girl who's been raped and murdered by a serial killer. In those aforementioned first 15 pages, we readers witness that act. The torture and death of a child probably tops the list of subjects I don't want to read about. But because I was required to, I ended up having a singular, disturbing, and even enlightening literary experience. Like other great but horrifying works of art, The Lovely Bones is its own justification for being. Our narrator's name is Susie Salmon. In 1973, when she was murdered, she was 14 years old. Her murderer, we readers know, was a neighbor named Mr. Harvey. A weird guy, but not glaringly so. He lived by himself a few houses down from Susie's family in a suburban development outside of Philadelphia. About that opening murder scene, I'll just say that it was in no way salacious, and that as a reader, it's not like I got over it during the course of the novel. Instead, I learned to live with it as a constant waking nightmare, just as Susie and her parents and brother and sister do in a more bewildered way. Susie's family, perhaps mercifully, never learns exactly what happened to her. Some blood and other awful physical evidence is found in a nearby cornfield, and years afterwards, a charm from Susie's charm bracelet is found next to the body of another murdered girl. Susie recollects her violent death and watches over her grieving family from a place she calls My Heaven. And part of the brilliance of this novel is the way Siebold animates her unsentimental spiritual landscape. It's a place where one's simple wishes are granted. Susie's heaven looks like her junior high school campus, and there are lots of dogs there too because she's a pet lover. She's looked after by a matter-of-fact counselor named Franny, and she learns, among other things, that heaven has elements of black humor. One of the most popular games that residents of Heaven play is called How to Commit the Perfect Murder. It's a game they excel at because so many of them were victims. But Heaven, or more precisely this kind of way station to Heaven with a capital H, doesn't grant its residents their most profound wish, to be alive again and back with the people they love. At one point, Susie asks Franny how to be released from her tormenting yearnings, how to reach the more traditional heaven where I would feel only joy and have no memory, no cornfield, and no grave. Franny tells Susie that if you stop asking why you were killed instead of someone else, stop investigating the vacuum left by your loss, stop wondering what everyone on earth is feeling, you can be free. Simply put, you have to give up on Earth. Meanwhile, back on chaotic Earth, Susie's teenaged friends and her family struggle to let go of the hope of ever seeing her alive again. Her 4-year-old brother is still blessedly oblivious, while her mother finds, as Susie compassionately puts it, a doorway out of her ruined heart in merciful adultery. Susie's younger sister, Lindsay, must bear the burden of what Susie calls the walking dead syndrome, meaning that everyone sees Susie, the murdered sister, superimposed on Lindsay's face. Their father is the ordinary hero of this story, constant in his vigil, always talking to Susie, scheming to entrap the man he suspects murdered her, even as he himself becomes a nuisance in the eyes of the police. In a breathless scene towards the midpoint of the book, Lindsay risks her own life to find some small measure of vindication for her father. A day or so after finishing The Lovely Bones, I became aware that, unconsciously, I had put it face down in the middle of a pile of otherwise undistinguished new books. That's the kind of power this novel radiates. It needs to be muffled, quarantined. Otherwise, Susie's questioning voice overwhelms all the reassuring noise of everyday life.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed The Lovely Bones by Alice Sebald.